The resignation of the Pope, on my daily mass, since there's no Pope now, since March the 1st, the last time I was able to say our Pope, Benedict the 16th, and now this has been a blank in our mass. I pray for our bishop in every mass, and I pray for the Pope in every mass. So all of us, those of us who are Catholics around the world, feel the absence of a father who's the head of the family. And I think this is an experience, but I think the Pope is a reflection of God for us. And that blank that we have when we pull the name of the Pope for these days helps us to become more intensely aware of the Father who loves us. And he's always there. And so much a powerful, loving Father. I got a call from a religious, and she said to me, I think she has something like 35, 36 nieces and nephews, and she has four sisters and a brother, and they're all married. She said, what really bothers me and disturbs me is I don't think most of my nieces and nephews realize how much God loves them. That really struck me, how unaware most people are of how much God loves us. And today, God is reminding us at this fourth Sunday of Lent, for the fourth week of Lent, lo, I am about to create a new heaven and new earth. The things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create, for I created, and always put in your name, I created Mary or John or Peter or Andrew to be a joy. And all of your families, its people, to be a delight. God created you, and you, if you're part Chris, and you and I are a delight to God. When you wake up in the morning, God is delighted in you. Like a father who's hovering around your bed all night, filled with joy and your presence. And how many of us wake up to stress and even sometimes in despair? I think of those brothers and sisters of mine, how much God loves them. Everything is created by him. Every single thing you have around you, not only yourself that was created, which he reminds us, I created you and you are my delight. And I created you for joy and I love you. Today, Jesus, in his teaching, comes to us again, and it's in John's Gospel that he had come to his hometown, and there he performed the miracle in Capernaum of changing water into wine, and today he's about to perform another miracle. But there's a couple lines I think that he wants. That I would like to stress that he teaches us in this gospel. Jesus left Samaria for Galilee. That's where he came from. He himself had testified that no one esteems a prophet in his own native country. When he arrived in Galilee, the people there welcomed him. They themselves had been at the feast and had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem on that occasion. He went to Cana in Galilee once more, where he had made the water wine. At Capernaum, there happened to be a royal official whose son was ill. When he heard that Jesus had come back from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and begged him to come down and restore health to his son, who was ill and near death. Jesus replied, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you do not believe." Now that's listen to that heart of Jesus. In other words, he really wants us to have faith. "Unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe." This poor father, whose son is so ill, "Sir," the royal official pleaded with him, "come down before my child dies." Jesus told him, "Return home, your son will live." The man put his trust in the word Jesus spoke to him and started off for home. That is key. He put his trust in what Jesus said. He was on his way home, and there was a servant who met him with the news that his son was going to live. When he asked them at what time the boy had shown improvement, they said to him, "The fever left him yesterday afternoon about 1 o'clock. It was at that very hour that the father realized Jesus had told him, "Your son is going to live." And so as he believed and trusted in what Jesus said, that very moment was when the miracle occurred. He and his whole household thereupon became believers. This was the second sign that Jesus performed on returning from Judea to Galilee. Look at the various occasions. One was simply to save the a family from embarrassment. They were running out of wine, and so Jesus, on that occasion, performed his first miracle. God had asked him to begin his public life right there in his own home area in Galilee, even though the people, for the most part, didn't show him much faith. But this occasion, Jesus, for the first time, performs his first miracle, changes water into wine. On the second one, we have a grave illness. Now, today, and I really believe what I began with, most of us are unaware of the divine love that is prepared for us. All that we need to do is to believe. Today, how many of us are under tremendous desolation, discouragement, distress, depression, and some of us even at despair? All day long, I just meet people who have so many needs and so many concerns. Is it a job that you haven't had? I was with this father recently. He's been unemployed, and he's really on a little job here and a little job there, and he has three children. We were talking. I said, "What is your faith here?" His stress level is, I think he's going to have a heart attack from stress. And to remind him that God loves his children more than he does. And so US as the people come and are asking him for payment on this or that, and he finds debt because of the loss of the job. Is that what you're really facing? What really, and still Jesus said in the face of this man's concern today, his son was dying. Unless you see signs and wonders. And he asked him, I do believe, I believe you. Is what he put his faith in what Jesus had told him. Your son lives. Is it an illness that is stressing you out? Is it your wife's cancer while you're listening? Is there an illness that is causing you your heart trouble, whatever it might be, in sickness and suffering? Is it a son who has lost his way? He no longer is engaged in his family. He's been drinking, and you're so, as a mother, you're so aware of what's happening to your grandchildren, your daughter-in-law, and this son of yours who has gone astray. What is it that is causing you this distress? All of the kinds of pressure, suffering that goes on in our world. I was talking to my cousin who was a priest, and I was thinking of my own family. This nun was telling me about her nieces and nephews. They don't realize the love of God. And I said, they've been wanting to get a family reunion. I have my mother's family, there was 10. And my father's family, there was also a great number. And I have many first cousins. And every once in a while, we have a family reunion. And I thought how important it would be, this cousin of mine is also a priest. Let's have a retreat along with this family reunion. Not just to get together to what each other's doing and how each other's lives are going, but let's begin with God at our family reunion. Let's begin with the love of God who unites us as a family. Some of my family isn't Catholic, but how important it is to take time to stop and to see that the source of all goodness, the source of all joy is the divine love. Again, that this reminder from God, lo, I am about to create a new heaven and a new earth. I would like to create a new family this particular Lent. I would like to create in each of you so that as the as the prophet is saying to us today, Isaiah, things of the past shall no longer be remembered. They no longer will come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create. For lo, I created you to be a joy. And I created you to be a people in delight. I will rejoice and be happy in you and exult in my people. No longer shall the sound of weeping be heard there, or the sound of crying. No longer shall there be in it, and that is in you and your family, an infant who lives but a few days. God wants to create something new for you this Lent. What is required? What this father had. Do you believe? Do you have faith? In this year of faith, I would encourage all of us who are listening this particular Lent to place your trust in the divine love. What came to me at the beginning of this day to share with you is so many of us are unaware of the divine love. God's love for each one of us. God's love for our families. God's love for the world in which we live. God is so in love with us. It's not that we love God. It's that God loves us. The first movement of love is not that I love God. That may or may not be true. But what is most important to teach, to preach, and to believe is the divine love for me, the divine love for those I love, the divine love for my family, that the love that God has for the whole world. These prophets of doom are always wrong. This is going to be a terrible time, an awful time of darkness, and there's going to come a punishment to the entire world. No, today God is saying to each of us, I love you. And then he says, do you believe it? Do you have faith in my love for you? When you believe it, you shall like the man whose son was immediately cured at his word. As soon as you believe that word, that I love you, and I will care for every and respond to every request when you have faith. Whatever you're asking for today, believe, and it will be given to you. Rejoice and be glad, for the divine love has come to you in a new way today.
Do you think the biggest block, Monsignor, is fear?
I think we've been taught a wrong, you know, there is a gift called fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is actually, we are so responding to the divine love, we don't want to offend him. That's the gift. The gift, fear of the Lord, is the awesome reverence that we have for God. When you look up at the sky and you see at night the stars and all their brilliance, who isn't sometimes just overwhelmed with the power of God? Oh my God, how great thou art. When I see the stars, how great thou art. That's the fear of the Lord. The awesomeness and the power of God. Or when you stand in front of the ocean and see the power of the sea, that's the awesomeness of God. And children use that word sometimes, awesome, but it is really awesome. And it is God who created it. He holds it in his hand. That God loves you and me. That God is more attentive to then all the stars, to you and me. The stars and the sea are going to come to an end. You, child of God, are going to live forever. He made every one of us for eternity. He loved us so much, he sent us his own son. This whole Lent has been concentrated on the divine love, the love of God, so immense that he sends us his only begotten Son. And the cross was the sign of his love. What is the sign that you love me? The cross. I gave my only Son, and my Son died for you. How much is God's love for you and me? And to be aware, and to believe, and to live in, and bask in, and rejoice in, and kick our heels up every day in the joy of divine love, no matter what is going on in my life today. Whatever, God loves you and wants to be with you in every way, more than anyone could ever tell you. I could never exhaust the immensity of the love that God has for each one of us. And as you listen and as you respond, hopefully your hearts will open into what Isaiah is calling for, a new joy, a new delight. The things of the past are gone. The things that are to come are here. Instead, there will and there shall be rejoicing and happiness in what I create and what I will give you. When? Today. Today is a new day of joy and love. A sister was with me, and she had come completely depressed and unhappy. She was so down. She wasn't in despair, but almost there. And after she finished her retreat, glimpses of the divine love began to come to her. I would wish each of you during this Lent could see this time as the retreat time, the church's time, as you listen day by day, and your eyes are opened slowly to what the truth is. And that's the message. The truth is divine love. The beginning of the message is love. That's what the gospel means. Good news. You are loved by God so much that he has sent you his son to die on the cross. Good Friday, which Lent leads up to, and Holy Saturday, his death, and Easter, his resurrection. You have been called, all of you who have been baptized, into that divine life. That is the life that is already within you, to begin to open your hearts to what is already there. That son that was dying is really you. And there's one who has come to Jesus to beg him for your newness of life. And that father is putting his trust in the word of Jesus, even now, as you begin to experience a new life this Lent. Your guardian angel, I believe, has gone to Jesus. That's the Father that's pleading for you. There's a patron saint that you have that's gone to Jesus and is pleading for you and believes that Jesus can bring you new life this Holy Week that's coming, this Easter, that you will live and come to a new life in Christ. Isaiah is predicting it, and Jesus is encouraged that you believe, and even as you come with all of your needs and cares. Yes, I believe that the darkness of the souls that are discouraged in desolation, in distress, and all kinds of pressures and almost despair is because our eyes have not been opened and we are unaware of the divine love. He is there. He's waiting for you. All he asks of you is to believe, as he wants to pour forth on you new life and rejoicing.
Any final thoughts, Monsignor?
There's a song, I can't remember it all, but the words are coming to me of how close God is to you right now. And if you're discouraged, distressed, and in desolation. This song used to talk, turn around, look at me. That it was a song of a person who loved you and is closer to you than you could imagine. And as you're walking, your eyes are facing into the dark, but right behind you is this one who loves you more than you can imagine. Turn around, look at me. I have loved you. I have longed for you. Turn around, look at me. Turn around, I'm standing here. Just look at me. Let me look at you. Let me answer all of your prayers.
Wow, incredible. Thank you so much,
God
Monsignor.
bless you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.